What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We're very excited. When we headed into the offseason, we knew we had to get that quarterback position right. It's the most important position in pro sports. And so we had to get it right. We made a major investment in Kirk Cousins. Couldn't be more excited about what he's been since he's been here. And then we have an opportunity to draft. We're not going to be picking that high moving forward. So it was a unique opportunity, and a player was sitting there that we believe in. We have a lot of conviction in him. We love the player and what he's going to be for us. So we have our quarterback for now, and we have our quarterback for the future. We couldn't be more excited.
Falcons GM Terry Fontenot explaining when they took Michael Penix, why they did it, which I feel like in the moment was mocked a bit at the draft. Like, you just signed a quarterback. Why would you draft one? Here we are not that much later, and Penix is the guy, and that answer checks out, right? We're not going to be picking this high. We don't plan to be picking this high. We're here. There's a quarterback available. They took him, and his career pretty much starts now. At least his career is their full-time starter. We check in 14 teams in 14 days. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. And Josh Kendall of The Athletic covers the Falcons, joining us on the Western Hotline. Josh, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm good. Thank you.
So, Michael Penix, how does it look so far? You know, I mean, it's anytime a franchise turns the keys over to a new young quarterback, there's a blossoming of hope. How much is happening in Atlanta right now?
Well, first of all, just rehearing Terry Fontenot say, we're not going to be picking this high again in the future. Doesn't that feel like a quote that's just going to come back around to haunt you? I mean, that can't you just feel that circling back around?
Yes.
Obviously, the Falcons gambled. When he talked in that clip about Michael Penix as the quarterback of the future, they didn't imagine that it would be this near the future. But here it is. And they are excited. They think Michael Penix is going to be the answer, not just good enough, but really good. I think we're okay. It's okay for us to be skeptical about that because he's only started three games. He completed only 58% of his passes in the three games that he started. But you can also see the potential. He does have a big arm. He is sort of a big game hunter. He can open up this offense in a way that Kirk Cousins was never going to be able to, even though Kirk is probably better than he was a year ago and probably right now in training camp, the sharper quarterback, the more consistent quarterback, the guy who's going to, you know, move the chain slowly perhaps. Penix is the guy who's going to make this offense, or they think going to make this offense what they really want it.
Do you feel like the offense is set up for him to thrive right away with the receiver talent they have, the running back, the coaching? Like, it does feel like he's walking into an environment where maybe there's not much needed. I don't know how good the line is, but it feels like it's a pretty good environment for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that you will not be able to say, you know, this is Michael Penix's show now. You're not going to be able to say, well, he didn't have this or he didn't have that. That offensive line has got four guys who were picked in the top 40, 42 picks of the draft, really highly paid. Their center is new starting center. Ryan Neusel is a former UDFA, but they have a lot of confidence in him. You've got Drake London, who I think could have a breakout year. You've got Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. So absolutely, the only thing that's missing to get this thing humming is the kind of play they want at quarterback. So now that's up to Penix.
By the way, Bijan or Bijan? We're going back and forth after he did his interview a couple weeks ago.
It's Bijan, I suppose. We've had this conversation with him annually. He claims he does not really care, but his mother prefers Bijan. I'm still stuck at Bijan, okay. But I need to retrain my brain probably.
That's right. Where I am too.
If mom says it, I feel like you got to go with what mom says.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she gets the final vote.
He had 300 carries last year. What do they want to be on offense? Do they want to be a team that is run first, they have a star running back, and have that kind of protect Penix in ways? Or do you think they want to be a little bit more air it out? The quarterback's got the arm for it. Let's go.
I think they want to be the Rams. I mean, I think Zach Robinson, that's the system he came from. That's a pretty good thing to want to be offensively. I think that, you know, if you're going to try to copy somebody in the NFL, it's the McShanahan system, as I guess I hear people calling it now. So, and the Rams, you know, look at Kyron Williams' workload the last 3 or 4 years. The Rams run the ball. So, yes, I think they're going to run the ball and try to take big shots. I think, and this is a really open, an open question, that they're going to try to get more play action back into the offense off of that run game. But we got to see that first before I'm 100% that that's the way they're going to go. But this is going to be, you know, not run first, but heavy run, big, big shots.
On the offense, a lot of big names we've mentioned, Drake London. We haven't brought up Darnell Mooney, Robinson. Is there ever a breakout coming for Kyle Pitts? Is it even, I guess, important to them to get him going, given that they have so many other mouths to feed?
Michael Penix has put a lot of effort this offseason into bringing Kyle Pitts along, into getting Kyle Pitts where everybody would like him to be. Taking him, you know, they played a lot of golf together this summer. They're riding to the stadium now, apparently, for games. I think Penix has made a real concerted effort to, you know, get Kyle Pitts back to rookie year Kyle Pitts. I remain, if not skeptical, unconvinced. I'm not counting on Kyle Pitts to do anything dramatic for this team this year. And I don't think that they need that. Could it take them from one level to the next level? Yeah, absolutely it could, and they would love to have that. But they can still be a really good offense. This can still be a top 10 offense if Kyle Pitts just remains, you know, the average or maybe even slightly below average starting tight end we've seen the last couple of years.
Is he – there was rumors about him – or not even rumors, there were tweets about him working with the receivers primarily. Like, I guess what even position, role – What are they asking him to do? Is he playing more traditional tight end, or is he just not doing any of that?
No, he's a tight end. He works some with receivers, but he is a tight end. They're not running him out there at X or Z. They need him to be a tight end. They are okay on their receivers. You know, that being said, you know, another open question for the Falcons is, you know, last year they were the most 11 personnel heavy team in the league. Will that continue? If that continues and they don't find a way to work more two tight end sets into the season, I think by the end of the year, Charlie Warner, whose name nobody listening to us may have heard, and that's perfectly understandable, could end up getting more snaps than Kyle Pitts because he is more of the traditional, can fit in the run game tight end, and I think that that's what they want from their tight end.
All right, the Falcons and their expectations this year. What's a good season for Atlanta? The division? I mean, the playoffs good, division ideal?
Yeah, I mean, I think division and playoffs are one and the same probably in the NFC South. Okay. I don't see this as a two-playoff division. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you got to 10-7 and made the playoffs, considering you've been out of it for 7 years, that would have to be considered a success. Maybe not quite commensurate to all of the resources that they keep putting into things, but it would have to be at least a positive development.
Right. Do you like having the Tampa game right away? That's week one at home. It's pretty early for it, but I mean I think most expect those to be the two teams that are fighting for the top.
Yeah, I think that lines up well for Atlanta. It's in Atlanta. Wirfs is out. The Bucs will be adapting to a new offensive coordinator. All those things are great or good for Atlanta. But Atlanta beat the Bucs twice last year and still lost the division. You know, I think that we're going to put a lot of weight on week one, and I get that, and I'm going to be right there as a part of that. But I don't think it's going to be a deciding factor really in any way.
All right. Josh Kendall at The Athletic, who covers the Falcons. Josh, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank y'all.
All right. 14 teams in 14 days.
By the way, they're in week two Sunday Night Football. How about week two Sunday Night Football, Michael Penix against J.J. McCarthy?
Love it.
I like that too.
I'm ready to watch the Falcons this year. They've been slowly getting more interesting and exciting.
Well, they got primetime games. So there's that Sunday night game. Then they have the Bills week 6 Monday night football. And then the very next week, they're on Sunday night football again against the 49ers. They have a London game against the Colts in there. There's a Thursday night game against Tampa. Another Monday night game against the Rams. That's a lot of primetime.
Yeah. 803-0550. All right. Should we
All right,
just
you taking a breath? You ready?
Stream of consciousness about
Gabe Davis. Jordan, start this car up.
Jordan Schultz reports
the engine run.
Gabe Davis is coming in for a free agent visit. What are we supposed to do with that?
I'll tell you. It's weird to figure out how he would fit on the depth chart if they were to be serious about signing him.
Yeah.
Because that means all your Tyrell Shavers hype, poof, that is gone. He's not on the roster. Maybe practice
Listen,
squad.
I'll just say it like this. If your wide receiver room is such that Gabe Davis can walk off the street on August 19th, sign a deal, and be on your team, your receivers aren't that good.
Uh-huh.
Period. That's it. We all kind of already know that. We know that it's okay to be not that good at the position. That's how the Bills like it, I guess, or that's where they are right now. Gabe Davis walking in off the street and getting a roster spot on August 19th, not participating in any part of training camp, I don't think he's going to make the team. The idea he's here for a visit is for what? Is it to drum up? Is it to try to convince Pittsburgh to sign?
I think that's a real possibility.
Pittsburgh's room is what? DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin III, Roman Wilson?
There's nothing.
That's what we're looking at?
Roman
Wilson's there too? Yes. They could probably use Davis. Davis to me, Gabe Davis, like he was a really nice player for the Bills. He was a very successful fourth-round pick. He is the reason the wide receiver train exists. He's the reason.
He's the creator?
Yes.
In a way.
It didn't exist until they made him the number two, and they planned to make him the number two. And the idea on this station was that's not going to be good enough. And it wasn't good enough. This team went out with Diggs, Davis, Hardy, Sherfield. Diggs, Davis, McKenzie, Crowder.
I saw...
Like, it was very obvious he was never good enough to be a number two. It's why the wide receiver train exists. It's why this position has been over-talked about for years and years and years, because they're always turning it over. And I'm sorry, again, like, I'm not pre-mad about this, because I don't think it's of meaning. But if he signs today and takes a roster spot away, he can't walk in on August 19th and be on your team.
He's out tomorrow, by the way, because Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh says that he's visiting with the Bills tomorrow.
Okay.
The one thing I will say is, though, that while, yes, he absolutely was not good enough to be a starter on this team full-time, I don't think that worked, he wouldn't be starting, right? Would he be number six?
Just give me the receiver core. He's playing special teams? He's not signing here unless he's going to play receiver.
I don't know what he's doing.
Give me the receiver core with Gabe in it.
He's Coleman's backup? Or is he getting Coleman to now play the slot? Maybe they don't like what Coleman's doing as the X. And they think, okay, like everyone's saying it out here. Like, this guy should play in the slot. This guy should play in the slot. Maybe they're thinking maybe he should play in the slot. But if he plays in the slot, who's our X? We don't have one. They wanted to keep Matt Collins. Maybe they thought Matt Collins was their break glass in case of emergency. And now it's, well, I guess Tyrell Shavers is going to be that. Maybe they would trust, hey, if we've got to move Coleman because he can't handle this, we need somebody that can handle it, and this guy's available. That's my best sales pitch for him being on the roster.
Is that he's going to play and Coleman's in the
he's
slot?
He's going to play the X when they realize Coleman can't. Yes.
And like Shakir and Coleman split slot snaps?
I guess.
With Kincaid?
Yeah.
It's not happening.
And Samuel. And Palmer.
It's not happening. Right?
Dulac also, by the way, said he's having a medical follow-up with the Steelers today. The Steelers had medical concerns when Davis visited the previous time. That's the added context from him.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I think that maybe the story is he's visiting the Bills to try to get the Steelers to make it happen. Make the move, Pittsburgh. He might go back to his old team. Aren't they going to? They love him there. so much respect for that guy. And again, he's a success story who was just overcast for multiple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, he's visiting.
That's my idea.
It's important everybody knows I am not mad.
Yeah.
I don't have a word for how this what the emotion is, the language we speak. I don't know what this emotion is.
I think my most likely reasons for why we're seeing this right now, I do think number one, the most likely, is what you said. That this is designed to get Pittsburgh, if not other teams, but Pittsburgh, to think, okay, if we don't sign him today, we might not get him. So if we really want him, we got to do it.
Yep.
I think that's the most likely.
That's right.
I do think the second most likely is he is their Matt Collins replacement. That they wanted to keep Hollins, and they don't have that guy on the roster right now, and that Gabe Davis is
so then Elijah either. Moore's off the team. Who's leaving?
Shavers.
They're carrying six?
Yes.
They're going to carry six.
They're going to carry six. If he signs, they're going to carry
and
six.
And who's playing special?
Who's
playing special teams?
None of them. A corner.
No, you keep six receivers
running
with
back.
None playing special teams.
Someone else is the gunner. A running back is the gunner. A safety is the gunner. Derek Forrest, I don't know. Yeah, you wouldn't have a receiver playing special
you
teams.
You have a receiver that's on your practice squad play special teams and elevate him a couple times.
And that would mean...
And just kind of use the practice squad as a...
That's what I mean. It's tricky. Because then if you do that, then one of your receivers is inactive every week. So, which might just be Samuel anyway, because he can't stay on the field. But, you're right. Like, it doesn't... The special teams part of it, it doesn't fit. Unless he's going to do it. But has he done it since his rookie season? Did he even do it in his rookie season?
Let's go to Johnny in Buffalo. Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not happy with Gabe Davis coming in. I couldn't care less about him coming in. It's just like one of those, he can't sign with any other team, so he's back here. It's just, it's not a great look. And, you know, I guess it's Tuesday. You know, Tuesday has no feel. I just feel like complaining about the Bills. Complaining about the defensive signings and how we just continue to neglect offense. You know, here we are. We thought Elijah Moore was kind of a decent pickup, and it's like, well, he couldn't stay with the Jets, he couldn't stay with his other teams, and you know, you've got Curtis Samuel who's now on his third team, but we continue to invest in the defense every single year, whether it's you know big signings in Von Miller or you know we're drafting guys every year. You talked about Ed Oliver not making a Pro Bowl. We drafted you know Rousseau and Boogie Basham in the same year. You know we drafted Epineza, then this year, T.J. Sanders, Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, Dwayne Carter. And it's like we're waiting for one of these guys to make that big splash to say, oh, we got this guy. But it just seems like, you know, I know Bean gets a lot of credit for being Big Baller Bean, but a lot of that comes with like his free agent defensive signings that are or late-round draft picks. But in the first few rounds, he's been terrible. And we just continue to neglect wide receiver with this generational quarterback who might go down eventually as the greatest dual-threat quarterback of all time. I don't think it's too crazy to say that. And here we have, you know, we had Stephon Diggs, which was great. But other than that, we've done nothing. We drafted Keon Coleman in the second round, who was a big body, you know, go-up-and-get-it receiver with limited agility and speed. And it's just, I hope he works out. I really do. But other than that, you know, what are we doing here? It just seems like I get it. It's tough to complain because we win the AFC East, which is terrible every year. But when you have a great quarterback and one of the greatest in the NFL, how hard is it? And you have a defensive coordinator coach with a defensive mentality who obviously, you know, can't get it done in crunch time against one specific team. And it's like, we keep trying to beat them the same way. Let's keep adding to the defensive line because we saw what Philly did in the playoffs. We've seen what other teams have done to Mahomes when they get pushed up the middle. But at the same time, it's like, guess what? It's not working for you, Sean. It's not working for you, Brandon. Let's just go crazy on offense. Try to put up like the greatest show on turf again and give Josh some real weapons. And I guess I'm just complaining to complain on a Tuesday morning. But at the end of the day, it's just frustrating to see a name like Gabe Davis come back into town and be our Mac Hollins replacement. Mac Hollins wasn't good. He was a good blocker, but I don't want Mac Hollins on the field over 50% of the snaps and to lead my receivers in snap counts. I don't want that. I want a guy who I can be like, yeah, that's our guy who Josh throws to. So it's just, it's increasingly frustrating to hear a guy like that come into town. And, you know, I know Bean came on the show a while back and kind of gave you guys some crap about the receiver issue. And he's like, oh, well, we signed Josh Palmer. Well, Josh Palmer couldn't make it on the Chargers with Justin Herbert. So I hope he does well here, but we'll see. I guess I'm just frustrated on Tuesday morning. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Johnny. Self-awareness, you know? Hey, it's Tuesday. I just feel like getting mad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. Thanks for the phone call. The chat likes a lot of the points you made. I mean, you know, speaking my language, a lot of things. Again, not mad about Gabe Davis reported to come in for a visit because he has not yet come in for the visit. And I still think the most likely scenario is that that is being drummed up to try and put pressure on the Steelers to sign him before that visit happens. If he is in for a visit, I don't know how it makes any sense. I just don't know how it would make any sense. Other than the quarterback says, I want him back. If that's
which is possible.
Even though I don't even know how that possible that is. So I'm whatever. Jordan Schultz reports Gabe is scheduled to visit the Bills tomorrow. I just think I'll say it 100 times just so I think it's just to drum up interest. I can't see it making any sense for the Bills. It would be cheap.
It would be the vet minimum because he's already getting paid by Jacksonville.
Right. He's familiar. He had a knee injury last year. That's something they said about him in Jacksonville. He had a knee injury.
Yep.
But, man, just say it this way, of the Steelers, any team adding Gabe Davis on August 19th, their receiving corps is cooked. That's it.
Right.
You can just – say it of any team. Pittsburgh, you too. You can just draft guys instead. You can just do that.
You could.
Pittsburgh.
The draft.
I'm yelling at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, the draft point, too, like, it's really just the first round, though, because they've got some second round nailed, like Torrance and Cook, and I mean, Bernard's a third round pick. But it is stark to look at, like, their draft history and look at round one. It's like one guy in 6 years. It's Rousseau. That is, like, really met expectation. Because
yeah.
Kincaid hasn't done that yet. And Coleman, who wasn't even officially in a first round pick, hasn't done that yet. And Hairston, obviously, is new, so he's not going to have a chance. And they have a couple years where they didn't have a first-round pick.
There's a lot of different ways to evaluate a pick, too. There's, did he make your team? Is he good? One way to do it is say, if you draft a first-round defensive end, how is he related to the other first-round defensive ends, right?
Right.
Or the other, is you draft a defensive end six in the draft. Is he the sixth best defensive end? Is he the first best defensive end? And on. T.J. Watt, how's that as a pick? Amazing. Late in the first round, he's one of the best players in the league.
Right, like Rousseau is – Peyton Turner is a defensive end that went two picks ahead of Greg Rousseau to the Saints, and he has done nothing in the league.
Right.
He's got five career sacks.
Yeah.
So, like, he's better than that guy, for instance.
803-0550. I'm off the next 3 days, so if they sign Gabe
– oh, you're going to have to call in.
Come on with this.
It's like Howard picks the Bills. Something happens, we got to call Howard. If Gabe Davis ever signs with the Bills in any context, we have to call you. Get the take. He's not going to sign. I think.
Now, if you tell me they traded Curtis Samuel and did it, I might be open to it because that's $9 million saved and they would be less committed and we could fire up the receiver train in the draft. You better believe that's coming back.
I can't believe we haven't heard the wide receiver train horn yet. Come on. This is the
stop.
The inspiration is going to be in town tomorrow. What if he showed up at the airport wearing a conductor's hat? If he's here tomorrow, is that when the you'll take it seriously that they would sign him? If he actually gets here?
No.
I think
I think that would be him coming here to push the Steelers to sign him.
By the way, the Steelers also have Robert Woods on their depth chart. Not that that makes much of a difference for their receiver core.
He can run block too.
Robert Woods?
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to be able to, at least.
Bobby Trees. How come more people haven't been given that nickname treatment?
It should be the only thing he's ever referred to as. Bobby Trees?
Yeah.
It's a great nickname.
More people need that exact treatment.
It's on his Pro Football Reference page.
Like James Cook, Jimbo Chef. They call him Jimbo.
Jimbo Chef.
Jimbo Chef.
I kind of like that.
Let's go Jimbo Chef.
Jimbo Chef. I like it. They show up. They show up to the AFC Championship game this year, and he's got Chef on the back of the jersey.
What else can we instead do? Instead of Cook, Micah Hyde would be synonym for Hyde. I'll think of more.
Mike, I don't know. Mike, something.
Yeah. Mitch Concealment. I don't know. I'm trying here. You know, whatever. Bobby
who,
Trees.
Who is that about?
Mitch? Micah Hyde, like Mitchell, Michael.
Oh, Mitchell. You know, I thought we moved on to like Mitch Morse or something.
Mitch Morse. Whatever. See what this Gabe Davis thing has done to my brain? I'm
just melted it.
Yes.
Where would we draft Gabe in fantasy if he signed with the Bills, though?
Fantasy fade. Jeremy and Joe, we've got full phone lines ready to talk about Gabe. Let's do it. Let's go. Why not?
Nothing gets the people fired up.
Why
like
are we talking about
Big Game Gabe, by the way, on his Pro Football Reference page.
That nickname now belongs to Big Game James Cook. He's Big Game James. Let's start it. Big Game James.
All right.
All right. You can call us about Cook. Or, no, why would you do that? Call us about Gabe, I guess.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.